I'm doing.
Today is June 8th, 2015. Council.
Yes, we have an informational before us today on corporations serving as jury members. So legal persons in the U.S. are entitled to rights under the law, and there's two kinds of legal persons, natural persons, which are the physical persons, or juridical persons, which is an entity capable of having legal rights, and the classic example, of course, being corporations. Legal personhood in the U.S. applies to natural persons, corporations, and also to ships, which is very interesting, and ships. Not many folks ships. Are aware that ships are legal persons and are entitled to rights.
That's what they call her.
That is exactly it. They are named and exactly. So as early as that we know of, the U.S. Supreme Court had ruled in 1819 that corporations have the same rights as natural persons. In this context, it was to enforce contracts. That was the case of Dartmouth College versus Woodard. And the word person in the 14th Amendment of the Federal Constitution has been interpreted by the courts to apply to corporations, the reason being that corporations are organizations of people, and those people should not be deprived of their constitutional rights. Of course, more recently, the case of Citizens United versus Federal Election Commission, which was ruled on in 2010 by the United States Supreme Court, held that corporate funding of independent political broadcasts in candidate elections cannot be limited under the First Amendment. It is also interesting to note that while we have ships and corporations as legal persons, legal personhood has been denied in the U.S. to women, children, and also to African Americans. And so we're going to hear a lot about this today, but specifically in reference to House Bill 3385, which is sponsored by Representative Evans. And this bill addresses the eligibility of juries, and it amends ORS 10.030, which addresses just that topic. And it's interesting that this section starts that, except as otherwise specifically provided by statute, the opportunity for jury service may not be denied or limited on the basis of race, religion, sex, sexual orientation, national origin, age, income, occupation, or any other factor that discriminates against a cognizable group in this state. And that could become relevant in this context. House Bill 3385 adds a new sub 4, which states, any corporation organized under the laws of this state is eligible to act as a juror in a civil or criminal trial or as a grand juror. The corporation must act as a juror or grand juror through an individual agent of the corporation who would be eligible to act as a juror or grand juror under subsections 2 and 3. So we have before us today Representative Evans to talk about his bill. And we did have a couple other folks invited, including Kate Titus, Executive Director of Common Cause for Oregon, and David Delk, who's the co-chair of the National Alliance for Democracy. You do have in your packets here a letter that has come from Common Cause addressing House Bill 3385, and I think it's worth a read. You might find that interesting.
Especially the last paragraph.
Yes.
Please.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, thank you very much for making this opportunity. I'm actually heartened that it is an informational-only hearing about a bill that I think at least warrants a little bit of discussion. This bill is offered as a solution to a problem that I believe was intensified by recent court opinions related to corporate personhood. But for the record, I'm Representative Paul Evans. I'm elected to serve the folks of Independence, Monmouth, West Salem, and South Salem in House District 20. I reside at 744 Main Street East, Monmouth, Oregon, 97361. I appear before you today not as somebody who is actually against corporations. I am a small business owner. I'm the son and grandson of small business owners. But I do believe it's important to outline an approach and identify a couple of challenges. So first, the problem. Reaffirmed through the recent Citizens United versus Federal Elections Commission is that we are now witness to a near repeat of the separate but equal, where some persons are more equal than other persons, environment that has caused widespread chaos and confusion in the past. To demonstrate this problem and a plausible solution, House Bill 3385 was introduced to provide a path for reconciliation. In simplest terms, House Bill 3385 would do exactly what was just discussed. It would provide corporations the opportunity to serve as jurors. It provides fairness for those denied the opportunities other persons now enjoy. It is a way to reconcile the separate and unequal standards that now deny corporate persons access to a jury of their peers. In Citizens United, the United States Supreme Court upheld and expanded previous rulings associated with political speech. The court reaffirmed First Amendment protections for corporations, as well as outlining the reasons congressional constraints upon political action committees sustained through corporate finances were unconstitutional and understood to be a form of censorship. This decision, however, did far more than affirm the rights of a corporation to access and exercise a political speech on behalf of the persons affiliated with the entity. It actually affirmed the essential nature of the corporate entity as a person itself, assuming independent corporate-minded speech for its own sake, along with other inherent expectations of protected rights. In the majority opinion, the court concluded that corporations and other associations, like individuals, contribute to the discussion, debate, and the dissemination of information and ideas that the First Amendment seeks to foster. The court rejected the argument that political speech of corporations or other associations should be treated differently under the First Amendment simply because such associations are not, quote, natural persons. Although the court hinted at distinctions between natural persons and others, the decision affirmed the equality of all citizens under the law. Some analysts claim the decision set into legal precedent an absolute personhood standard for corporations. It's worth noting that citizenship through birth or naturalization has long been understood to be the domain of persons natural, meeting certain and specific criteria. However, the law now recognizes very little legal difference between natural persons and the entities established by persons for a purpose. In fact, the language of the decision suggests that in time, corporate persons may or will have every expectation for rights far beyond speech for political purposes and or protections under the law as individuals. I think it sets the stage for corporate persons with all the rights of natural persons without the burdens of mortality. These things happen through incremental expansions, decisions providing the justification for future decisions that expand the scale and scope. Built upon the rock or sand, the superstructure of personhood appears to be a work in progress. In fact, in his concurring opinion, Chief Justice Roberts wrote, "Fidelity to precedent, the policy of stare decisis, is vital to the proper exercise of judicial function. Stare decisis is the preferred course because it promotes the even-handed, predictable, and consistent development of legal principles, fosters reliance on judicial decisions, and contributes to the actual and perceived integrity of the judicial process." I think this discussion of personhood is central to our purposes today. I ask for consideration of this bill as a rational, reasonable extension of existing precedent. Because of our responsibilities to the principles of the 14th Amendment, the Constitution of the United States. After all, it was through the 14th Amendment we justified national expectations for civil liberties and individual justice. Turning our back upon that experience is neither advisable nor sustainable, for once personhood manifests, it is our responsibility to assist as well as to comply. The 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution established, and many of you know this already, that all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. This amendment means United States citizens are entitled to rights within the states, and conversely, that persons understood by states to be citizens are entitled to the full spectrum of rights afforded to U.S. citizens. Most of us are familiar with the arduous, tortured path to personhood suffered by corporations. From the notes scribbled by a clerk on the opinion of the Santa Clara County case of 1886 through the precedents determined in the early part of the 20th century, some corporations have come to depend upon an evolutionary expansion of protections associated with constructed personhood. Some use it as a shield, used for defending corporate actions from laws established to regulate labor and wage standards, environmental oversight, and financial responsibility. We are now far removed from the origin of corporate organization understood by our founding fathers, explained earlier. James Wilson, a Pennsylvania delegate that signed the Declaration of Independence, represented the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania in the Constitutional Congress, and helped write the U.S. Constitution, wrote at the time that a corporation is described to be a person in a political capacity created by the law to endure in perpetual succession. It must be admitted, however, that in too many instances, those bodies politic have, in their progress, counteracted the design of their original formation. This is not mentioned with a view to insinuate that such establishments ought to be prevented or destroyed. I mean only to intimate that they should be erected with caution and inspected with care. In fact, in Federalist 10, Madison outlined the inherent dangers of factions. Some can look at factions as amalgamations of resources or politically concentrated powers. It was understood that corporations, precisely because of their perpetuity, were to be viewed as instruments of persons, not persons absent legal or political necessities. American economist Milton Friedman described corporate nature this way: there is one and only one social responsibility of business, to use its resources and engage in activities that increase its profits. This profit motive has evolved with the aid of technology and time into a global pursuit beyond the reach of national boundaries as well as societal norms. What began as chartered interests, fostering economic growth as a result of the pursuit of self-interest, has become pursuit of the self-interest by and for the corporation. This fundamental transformation of the form and function of the corporation has put the business community at odds with itself. Small enterprises often have little in common with transnational conglomerates. The liquidity of currency has driven free market economics off the map and into uncharted territory. I believe we're living in an age where big corporations have demonstrated an ability to optimize personhood as a shield from responsibility rather than an engine for U.S. economic and societal development. In his dissent to the Citizens United decision, Justice Stevens wrote, "Corporations have no consciences, no beliefs, no feelings, no thoughts, no desires. Corporations help structure and facilitate the activities of human beings, to be sure, and their personhood often serves as a useful legal fiction. But they are not themselves members of we, the people, by whom and for whom our Constitution was established. This traditional view of corporations suggests that corporations are neither inherently bad nor good, but rather instruments of the breathing human persons that facilitate economic activities through the useful legal fictions necessary for sustaining commerce." In other words, Stevens would posit that corporations are less person than a partnership for or by persons. I happen to agree with Justice Stevens. Corporations are tools. Corporations are not mortal beings. Corporations are legal constructs, nothing less or more. But we lost. That was not the decision of the court. That is not existing precedent now. We live in an era where corporate personhood is an assumption. We are required to consider some of the most basic truths: the roles of persons in a free state and the distribution of duties. As a speech instructor, I sometimes have to focus specifically on the actual argument of the case. At this point, I believe it's a very simple conditional argument we find ourselves within. If corporations are persons, then state law must secure that personhood in rights and responsibilities. The courts have determined through precedent that corporate persons are persons with the same expectations of rights as all other persons under the U.S. Constitution beyond the original understanding of charter. Therefore, the state of Oregon must reform our laws in such a manner that provides corporate persons with the full spectrum of rights afforded to all others. Existing Oregon revised statutes define a person in several ways. The most comprehensive description is an individual, corporation, business, trust, estate, trust, partnership, limited liability, company, association, joint venture, government, subdivision, agency or instrumentality, public corporation, or any other legal or commercial entity. And despite a distinction within a few of our statutes of the term natural person, there appears to be very little specific recognition of the difference between corporate persons and others, especially with regard to service as jurors. In fact, the law is silent on how corporate persons are supposed to enjoy full access to rights, including protections from unwanted search and seizure, a fair and speedy trial, and security against cruel and unusual punishment when corporate persons are denied the right to a jury, including peers. So long as the law recognizes corporate persons as persons, deserving all the rights of persons, I believe we must seek remedy for the lack of corporate rights to stand trial for criminal behaviors, as all other persons can, for the lack of opportunities to serve and be registered to serve in our armed forces, and to exercise the franchise to vote. This seems irrational, and yet, not that long ago, lawyers defended precedents established by Dred Scott, Plessy versus Ferguson, and others. In time, our nation finally challenged the underlying fallacies that those rational arguments were put upon, but we are not there yet. The power of precedent will continue forward unless certain actions are taken and certain values are replaced. Colleagues, I believe we are faced with two clear alternatives. One, adherence to existing precedent that will require us to implement legislation such as House 3385 in order to secure due process and equality under the law demanded by the 14th Amendment. Or two, a meaningful dialogue across the partisan divide in the pursuit of a more responsible legal arrangement, an arrangement that values both individual as well as corporate rights, but as different, distinct kinds of entities with certain and specific purpose and scope. In other words, laws that recognize the differences between mortality and immortality, between perception of human characteristics and human experience. Option one demands that we take action to implement laws, policies, and procedures consistent with securing the rights for all persons as identified under the law. Option two demands that we differentiate between natural persons defined by mortality as well as the human condition from what are essentially zombies roaming the streets. Creatures with agency but absent mortal concerns as well as human perspective. Corporate structures are an essential part of the modern world. We agree to this. The greater question before us is whether we accept corporate persons as the evolution of the human condition or whether we realign our understandings of partnerships for purpose and reform our laws to recognize utility absent personhood status. This is the reality of our time. Corporate persons are equal to natural persons so long as we allow it so. And with respect to Orwell, existing precedent is blind to the differences in perspective held by immortal legal constructs and mortal beings. We are now witness to an era where some persons appear to be more equal than other persons. And as legislators, it is up to us to demand whether a domestic, democratic society can long withstand the potential schisms likely associated with a body politic divided by such elemental differences as immortality or conscience. Today, I ask for your consideration on this particular issue, and more importantly, to consider the alternatives and the future. If we continue along the track we're on, we will be revisiting time and again what personhood for corporations really means and making adjustments. Or we can begin the harder discussion of actually questioning some of the assumptions, trying to build the structure upon more rock than upon the sand that it's currently based upon. Do you have any questions?
Questions for President Greenleg.
Yeah, I have a comment. I have a serious problem with this formulation because if I'm called to a jury, I don't get to name a proxy. So I think the problem is we need to make sure the corporation serves on the jury, not some proxy.
Chair Barker, Representative Greenleg, I appreciate that, and in fact, that was what I tried to do. I'm told I'm not a lawyer, nor did I stay at a Holiday Inn Express recently. But I was told in very clear terms by a very kind, but I think somewhat understandably frustrated legal counsel person, that the original concept, which would have said you call corporations to jury duty, and if you cannot serve in that capacity, then the charter is disbanded, was seen as a constitutional takings issue. And that there was a, shall I say, very spirited discussion about whether or not that was possible even for consideration. So we took option B, which is, in fact, that the corporation would identify an agent, and that agent would represent the corporate interests, understanding and, in a very public way, emphasizing that they were representing the corporate interests.
May I follow?
Yes, you may.
I assume a corporation could waive the jury if they were more than 70 years old. You would want to make sure that that was...
Chair Barker, Representative Greenleg, I honestly do not understand yet how the court has determined the relative age or maturity of corporations in relationship to other rights and responsibilities. But I am very eager to enter into those discussions and try to learn more.
Well, they certainly couldn't vote until they were 18 years old.
Indeed.
And I assume if they're 7 years old or older, they have to go to school. And I think there are some obvious...
Chair Barker, Representative Greenleg, I think that there are... I happen to believe that there are obvious differences between legally constructed entities that have the appearance or at least the characteristics of certain human conditions and actual humans, flaws and all. But unfortunately... Again, the way I read the language of Citizens United, it's clear that the court recognizes that natural persons are different than corporations. But what is also clear is that the continued evolution of the rights without responsibilities of corporations appears to be along a traceable and continuing line of precedent that I think puts at odds our very formation of democratic rule.
That is the problem, isn't it? The problem is that when we have rights, we have responsibilities that go with those rights. And it seems to me the job is to figure out how to make the corporation, if they have rights, have the attendant responsibilities that go with that, including, I think, logical criminal penalties. I want to see that first corporation get put in prison.
Chair Barker, Representative Greenlee, the issue also as a small business person is the reality of life is that small businesses actually do have responsibilities to the community. We live here, we work here, we employ people here. The problem is when you have multinational or transnational conglomerates that exist as citizens, quote unquote, of many different states, but in fact are stateless, that have no responsibility save to the corporation that can live forever in perpetuity. That's the fundamental challenge, not to punish good corporations and small businesses that are actually trying to meet their obligations to help move the economy forward, but those out there that operate absent the conscience, absent the realities of some of the smaller corporations.
As far as schooling, maybe they could sign up to the Wingard's, pretend academy. Long.
You know, Mr. Chair, the issue is, I mean, I think I'll take that Representative Evans put this bill in a serious nature. And I think part of the opportunity is whether a state can be the place to push on some of these things. I mean, I see it as a serious question. And if it's not the voting, maybe it's something else. But we don't want persons to have rights without having responsibilities. The question is, how do we deal with the relationship between the state and these? Is it people? Is people the plural of persons?
Legal persons.
I mean, that's a serious question. We ought to think about how to do that.
Importance of buying a lot, so the bums can put up tents. Maybe they could buy a lot and let a business put up a business.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Corporate welfare.
We do a lot about that.
Then they should all be voting Democratic, shouldn't they?
You think.
The corporations would. It's their owners we're having problems with. Yeah. There's no question that corporations would be Democrats.
Have to be.
Okay, anything further? Thank you very much.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, thank you very much for this opportunity.
It is an interesting topic, in all seriousness, and on Common Cause, their last thing talks about the vote that we should have a friendly amendment. If it is impractical for corporations to cast a vote by ballot as humans do, we could explore the replacing the ballot with a simple vote by dollars program akin to what exists now. I like that.
Chair Barker, the fundamental question, and again, I tried to offer this bill as a thought piece for consideration with respecting the process. But the fundamental question is...
I would say, Mr. Chair, that all of these corporations is where all your PERS money is invested. You better hope that they're successful.
I'm not in PERS.
A lot of us are. And any of you that have a 401k,
I'm investing. You're invested. In Jennifer's house and Mitch's house. My retirement.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, the question at the end of the day, I think, for this moving forward is the true meaning of rights. If rights become so easy to give, then they might actually lose their value for all. And that's one of the things I hope that we can guard against and find better remedies. Thank you.
Chair?
Yes.
Talk about rights is interesting. There was a case the other day, it was supposed to be a court decision on the right of monkeys, and how, has that come out yet?
So it's a really interesting work that's being done, in, mostly in New York right now, but it's the Non-Human Rights Project, which is asserting rights for non-human persons. They're picking animals. They've done a lot of work, background research, to decide what is the best animal, what is the best state, what is the best judge, where to bring these cases. So, for instance, they have a lot of scientific research on the sentience of chimpanzees, of elephants, of dolphins. And so what makes us a person? Is it the ability to recognize yourself in a mirror? Is it the ability to feel pain? What is it? And so it is an ongoing discussion going on. I don't believe that exact opinion has come out, but it's getting a lot of media attention right now. So something to follow that is somewhat related to this. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. And we have close the hearing and open, or just information, there's no meeting tomorrow. There will be meetings on Wednesday or and Thursday.
Party on Thursday. I'll stay too late.
Yeah, right. We are adjourned. Yeah, right. We are adjourned.
On Thursday. I'll stay too late.